Eagles Entertainment.
With the 13th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select...
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
Welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by LifeBrand. I'm your host, Fran Duffy, and we are almost done our conference previews for the 2022 college football season. We've already done the teams outside the Power 5. We've done the Big 12. We've done the Pac-12. Last week, we did the ACC, which means we have just two left in the Power 5. This week, we keep the train rolling with the Big 10. Current alignment of the Big 10, 14 teams with two divisions and a title game. Those two divisions, you've got the East and the West. I'm going to list these teams out in the order of last year's standings. You have the East Division, and that is considered the stronger side of the ledger here in the Big 10. You've got the powerhouses, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Maryland, Rutgers, and Indiana. Then out west, you've got Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, and Northwestern. All of these teams in the West have taken turns being the top dog in that part of the conference. But we'll see exactly how things pan out this year. Obviously, we've got a lot of talent that we're going to discuss here in this podcast. When you look at the top 20 of the last five drafts, you'll see 19 players coming from the Big Ten. That's actually the same number as the ACC last week. But what I would say is these 20 guys, maybe not too comparable to the 20 we saw last week. A lot of really impressive blue chip talent, some of the top players at their positions in the NFL. Two quarterbacks, both from Ohio State, Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins in the last 5 years. Running back Saquon Barkley, obviously number two overall back in 2018. A trio of receivers, two of which went in the top 12 of this past draft. Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. Jahan Dotson as well from Penn State in this past draft. At tight end, you've got TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant, both from Iowa. At tackle, Rayshon Slater at left tackle, Tristan Wirfs on the right side, two of the top young blockers in the game. Along the defensive line, Aiden Hutchinson, number two overall this past year. Chase Young, number two overall recently. Nick Bosa, number two overall recently. And Rashawn Gary from Michigan in the top 15. Then you go to pass rusher. You've got linebacker, Micah Parsons, who also moonlights as a pass rusher. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Devin Bush out of Michigan a couple years ago. And then at corner, three Ohio State Buckeyes, only one of which has really kind of hit that ceiling so far. That's Jeff Okuda from Detroit, number three overall. Damon Arnett with the Raiders and Denzel Ward with the Cleveland Browns. So obviously, it just got that huge contract last year. So when you look at these players, a lot of really impressive young talents. We'll see what the Big Ten has to churn out here. Before we get into draft buzz with Ben and with Dane breaking down these top prospects, I want to make sure I give you guys the reminder. If you've got any questions at all heading into this college football season, if you've got a mock draft or a big board you want us to break down, if you want to just throw us your support, you say, hey, we really appreciate the podcast, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, rate the show, give us a rating and leave us a comment. Those comments are so pivotal for boosting the show up the rankings. Appreciate everybody that has thrown us your support here in the last few weeks as we've really kind of hit the ground running with the 2023 NFL draft and with the 2022 season. That said, excited to keep that rolling here with Draft Buzz. It's time now to welcome in Ben Fennell and Dane Brugler.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, so with that, time to welcome in Dane Brugler and Ben Fennell as we get into the Big Ten. And guys, a really talented conference and some of the top players in this college football season. Certainly, they're being talked about for next spring's NFL draft. And Ben, will start with the top prospect overall for 2023 in terms of eligibility in the entire conference, regardless of position. Ben, it feels like there's one name that's on the tip of everyone's tongue, and that's a potential number one overall pick if all things go his way.
Yeah, this conversation starts and ends with C.J. Stroud, you know, quarterback at Ohio State, coming off a huge first year starting, taking over for Justin Fields. Really impressive statistically, you know, obviously 44 touchdowns, six interceptions, you know, over 70% completions. But diving into who he is and how he gets the job done is what's so interesting. He's a really impressive quarterback prospect. Looks the part at 6'3", 210, 215. He is structurally, technically, mechanically sound. He is a very disciplined college quarterback prospect. This is not a fun, loose, creative, out of structure type of backyard playmaker. That really isn't his style. This is really much more of a Andrew Luck type of executor. Now, obviously different tools and ability, but really that's when they're at their best. Really accurate, has great touch, great layering, can drive the ball. Can make the intermediate throws, has a flexible arm to throw from different angles. really good against pressure for Andon Dane. I think that was my most impressive thing, especially as a youngster, the poise, the subtle movements, and obviously being able to make those throws, you know, from different spots in the pocket. Needs to improve the anticipation, particularly over the middle of the field. Needs to get a little bit better just being an athlete and out of structure and creating when nothing's there, and in combination throwing on the run. So when it's all perfect, this guy looks really, really good. I would say he may challenge Will Anderson for the first overall pick based on who is selecting there, because he is so impressive within structure. Now, if you want this exciting playmaker out of structure, that really hasn't been what CJ Stroud has done. So 2022, we'll see if maybe he changes tune a little bit, but things look pretty good when the offense was ticking and everything was lined up for him, guys. I'm not sure if you guys studied him or if you disagree or agree.
No, I mean, real quick, Dane, before we jump over to you, because I want to get your thoughts on CJ Stroud as well. Ben, to your point, you know, when you look at him against pressure, his adjusted completion percentage, according to PFF, against pressure was ridiculous. I mean, just under 71% as a redshirt freshman last year, outstanding. And I thought, you know, I watched, I think, six games throughout the course of the season, and I kind of spread them out throughout the year. I thought he really got better as the season went on. And that was one of the things that really stood out to me. He was playing his best football down the stretch. It was a weather game against Michigan, and I know they lost that game, but I don't think that that's on CJ Stroud. I thought that he really held up his end of the bargain. Obviously, we saw the Rose Bowl, what he did against Utah in that game. But to me, a lot of the things that you hit on, they're some of my biggest strengths with him as well in terms of his ball placement, his touch. I thought his composure was really, really impressive. Dane, I know you're a fan of CJ Stroud as well.
Yeah, I mean, you guys did a great job kind of encapsulating everything that he brings to the field, the poise, the composure. That's such a key point. And it's also key, I mean, you both mentioned it, how he got better throughout the season. And that's what you would expect from a redshirt freshman, a guy that had hype as a four-star coming out of California. You know, the Ohio State quarterback situation at this point last year was really an unknown commodity. Who was going to fill the shoes of Justin Fields? You know, Quinn Ewers was in the mix. A lot of hype around what that situation was going to look like. But here comes CJ Stroud. And I mean, if you lay it out over his final four games, he had almost 80% completions, 440 passing yards per game, 19-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So this guy down the stretch in November and into December, then the Rose Bowl. I mean, he was unstoppable. One thing, and Ben, you kind of hit on this. I really wish he would utilize his mobility a little bit more. There were times where there's just 10 yards in front of him for the taking. And I mean, to his credit, his eyes are downfield. He's looking for, you know, someone to come open late, but he just needs to understand, take those yards. You know, he's not the best athlete out there, but he has enough mobility where, you know, he needs to be smart about taking what the defense gives him. But there's a lot of promise there. No doubt he has a chance to be in that number one overall conversation.
This may be a weird one-for-one comparison of a guy of late, but he's very boring. And he's almost like a Mac Jones with a live arm. And that's really kind of how I see him right now as a prospect and as a quarterback. And I don't say boring as a negative, Fran. You know me, I love boring quarterbacks. I love guys that stay within structure and know what to do and, you know, can live from the pocket and make every throw. That's boring out there, and I love that. I think CJ Stroud was boring, has a little bit more tools and upside than a Mac Jones, in my opinion. Mac Jones, obviously 15th overall, an immediate success with a great structured offense there in New England. I think CJ Stroud could really mirror that. And he's got a tough one right out the gate against Marcus Freeman and those Fighting Irish there. So, you know, he could get punched in the face there. You know, maybe they start 0-1 and then what's the whole season look like as far as tone and adversity and kind of staying the course. So they obviously had the hiccup last year early against Oregon. So I know they want to start a little bit hotter this year, and really, it's Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame, and a couple layups there. So that first one's going to be a lot of emphasis.
Well, Dane, you mentioned that, you know, CJ Stroud stepped in. Who's going to fill the shoes of Justin Fields last year? And I think you could say the same thing here about the player you want to talk about, and that's Northwestern left tackle Peter Skoronski, who's now stepping into his third year as a starter. He stepped in as a freshman, and it was, all right, well, who's going to fill the shoes for Rashawn Slater? Because he opted out in 2020, didn't play. So who was going to step in? Well, it was the true freshman who now is at the top of pretty much everybody's offensive tackle list heading into the season.
Yep, yeah, exactly it. I mean, Rashawn Slater was such a good prospect, such a good player at Northwestern. He opts out of that season, and it's, okay, Northwestern, they just lost their best player. Skoronski steps in at left tackle and almost immediately announced himself as one of the more promising linemen in college football, really controlled with his feet. Love the way that he processes things, works himself into quality positions. Hand strength, resetting skills are terrific. Throw on the Michigan tape from last year. Aiden Hutchinson, he couldn't do anything with Skoronski. Really had his troubles there. I think the big difference between Skoronski and Slater, though, Slater was, to me, clearly a tackle prospect. Skoronski, I think he looks like a better guard. Yep. Could he play tackle? Probably. But it's like, you know, Zach Martin could probably play tackle. Joel Bitonio could probably play tackle. Those guys were left tackles at the college level, and I think they could hold their own in the NFL. But their skill sets to maximize their talent and what they bring to the field, plug them in at guard. I think Skoronski is right there in that same conversation. So doesn't have that length that you look for, just the way he plays. I think you plug him in on the interior, and he's going to be a longtime NFL starter for you, has Pro Bowl potential for a long time. That's why I think he enters the year as a top 20 type of prospect.
I think regardless of where he plays, I think he does need to get stronger, but he's got like three core qualities that I think are a really good base to work with. He's really athletic. He's got outstanding grip strength, and he's a finisher. I mean, he plays with that mentality. So I think when you take those three things, say, all right, that's a really good starting point for an offensive line prospect. And whether you view him as a tackle or a guard, I think that's a good way for him to start. Ben, I know he's a guy you studied going back to his freshman year.
Yeah, and I had a chance to actually sit with him at the same table at OI Masterminds 2 summers ago. So I was able just to pick his brain a little bit since he had to fill in for Rashawn Slater at left tackle, and actually has some Rashawn Slater-like qualities.
He does.
Huge, thick lower half. I mean, there's no secret. He's got the bubble butt in the bottom. You really see it with his balance and his base. And just like Rashawn Slater, he could go almost a game, 2 games without being on the ground. They were just so sturdy from the ground up with their base and their balance that their jersey's pretty clean in the fourth quarter. So occasionally they got to get down there and do some cut blocks, and, you know, the occasional pancake brings them down there, but very balanced athletes. So Skoronski, Rashawn Slater, both Northwestern left tackles, there's some similarities.
Well, in terms of like the player coming from the same school kind of conversation, obviously two receivers from Ohio State, we talked about it earlier in the show, going in the top 12, top 11 of this past draft. Well, Ohio State's got another one here that's going to be in that kind of conversation in Jackson Smith and Jigba with the Buckeyes, 6 foot, just under 200 pounds, true junior this year. And I think we all kind of remember that performance, just a legendary outing against Utah in the Rose Bowl MVP in one game. 15 catches, 347 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Just a ridiculous game. One of my favorite games that maybe I've ever watched live from college football standpoint. To me, what really stands out, number one, his competitiveness. He's outstanding through contact in all phases of the route. Ben, you and I literally were just having this discussion last night talking about A.J. Brown in terms of his ability to win through contact. I'm not saying that these guys are comparable because their skill sets are different, but and then ability to play through contact, I really like that with Smith and Jigba. He's a good athlete. I think he can change gears and he can govern his speed. He's not like an explosive, like 0-60 type of athlete. I don't even know that he's going to like be a good top end speed type of player. But Dane, you and I have talked about that offline, but what I do like, and I think this is more important for a receiver ultimately at the end of the day, is he's got that ability to govern his speed. He's got multiple gears that he can work with throughout the route. And so that's something that I can really appreciate about his game. I thought he was a little frenetic as a route runner early in the season, and almost like CJ Stroud, I thought he really got better and was playing his best football in the second half, and certainly down the stretch in the Rose Bowl. And then when you just look at catch point plus, everything's outstanding. Just the ball's never on the ground. He doesn't fight it. He plucks the ball out of the air with ease. He's a good yak player. I think he had over 7.5 yards after catch per reception, just a great number for a young player. Great flashes tracking the ball over the shoulder. And again, you go to that Rose Bowl game, you're going to see a little bit of everything in his game as a receiver prospect. Ben, I know you've watched him. Dane, I know you've watched him. Dane, I'll come to you first. Just overall thoughts on this guy. We're spending a lot of time on these top prospects, but for good reason, because they're obviously huge names in the grand scope of things.
And you mentioned maybe my biggest concern about him is just how fast is he? There are times on tape where you watch him and he's getting caught from behind. But I think your point is very valid about him being able to shift gears and create space for himself because of the way that he understands how to manipulate coverage, how to use his speed that he does have. And I thought it was really interesting last year, CJ Stroud, remember, he's throwing to Chris Olave, he's throwing to Garrett Wilson. There's some other good receivers on that team. He pointed out Smith and Jigba as the best route runner he's ever played with in his life. So some big praise from his quarterback that I think backs up a lot of what we're saying.
Yeah, I think Dane hit it on the head there, a route running technician. And the questions are just how elite of an athlete is it? And I think some teams will want that eliteness and some will say, well, he's the best separator we've seen in 5 years. What do we care what he runs in a straight line? So I think his conversation and his draft stock is going to be really interesting once we get to that time frame.
No question. Well, let's get into the rest of these superlatives here. Obviously, we'll spend a little bit less time on these guys. We're going to go top senior on offense. So sticking on the senior class, offensive side of the football. This has been a troublesome category for us as we've been doing these previews, guys. But this one, I felt like it was a little bit easier than the others. Dane, we'll come to you first here.
Yeah, my top Big Ten senior on offense is also my top-ranked senior offensive tackle overall. And that's Maryland's Jalen Duncan. Plays with terrific lateral quickness, understands depth, understands timing. He can hit his landmarks. I love the way that he'll move with flow so he can mirror that edge speed. Watching him against Boye Mafe, who, ridiculous vertical, explosive athlete. Watching him on last year's tape, Duncan consistently cut off his speed and handled him. Now, he did struggle at times throwing the Penn State tape, and you see the length of an Arnold Ebiketie. And that's my biggest question with Duncan is he's not a very long player, in terms of his arm length. And he had a tough time recovering when his punch timing isn't perfect. And that allows the defender to get into his body. But I'm a big fan of this player. Duncan, he belongs in the day two conversation to start the season. And we'll see based on his development this year as a senior, just how high he can rise.
Yeah, he's a guy I thought that, even when if you just look purely based off numbers, but also watching him on tape, this is a guy that has gotten better throughout the course of his career. I thought he showed really good flashes, and I agree, probably one of the better senior tackle prospects in terms of the guys that I've seen so far. And I'm going to stay along the offensive line for my pick here, guys, except I'm going to shift a little bit further into the interior for Minnesota center John Michael Schmitz, who friend of the show, Brandon Thorne, he hyped him up last year as he was studying some other members of that Minnesota offensive line. And it was like, oh, like I love this kid, love what I'm seeing. And you saw some of the finishes that Brandon posted. And you go back and I ended up watching 4 or 5 games of him from last season. And that's absolutely my favorite trait about John Michael Schmitz is that he brings that finishing mentality. Some of the things we talked about with Skoronski, John Michael Schmitz brings that to the table. Now he's only got 23 starts, which is a really low number for a center prospect, especially a guy who's going to be a sixth year senior. So he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie when he does enter the league. But I think when you look at him and you say, all right, well, what are you working with here? He's not like a top shelf athlete. Well, he's really strong. It's tough to move off his spot. He's never given up a sack in his college career. He's got good strain to finish. I talked about the toughness aspect there, and he uses his hands really well, especially in the run game. So to me, when I think you look at this and say, all right, well, maybe not like a top shelf center prospect, but a guy that can turn into a starter down the road. To me, like shades of like a Ryan Jensen type of player in terms of the type of player that he is. Obviously, that's a high ceiling there. But to me, John Michael Schmitz, probably my favorite senior on offense in this conference. I really, really liked watching his tape. Ben, how about for you? Who's a guy that stands out in this class?
And Fran, we may be on the cusp of a strong senior center class. Stay tuned. We'll see what we got this year.
Yeah, you've only been saying this for the last 7 years. So we'll keep the train rolling there.
Let's just keep it going. Love the pick there, the left tackle at Maryland. A lot of eyes on Maryland and Mike Locksley. It's put up, shut up time. They have 4 or 5 NFL quality receivers. Tolia Tungalavoa at quarterback. They need to put it all together there at Maryland. But great pick with Smith and Jigba as top prospect. Do you know the other Big Ten receiver with 1,000 yards last year that's returning? There's only two, Smith and Jigba, and neither of you know it. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump you. What do you got, Fran?
No, I know the rundown, so I'm not even going to try and pretend to cheat.
No, you cheater. All right, well, it's Jaden Reed. A lot of people may say, Jaden Reed. Who's Jaden Reed? Well, he's a slot receiver up at Michigan State. Had 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns last year. He's an all-purpose receiver, great punt returner, a lot of gadget-type stuff with end-arounds, manufactured touches, yaks, screens, get the ball in his hands, really crafty in space. He's fast, he's loose, he's tough. Not very big, but surprisingly competitive at the catch point. All sorts of adjustments and strong plays coming back to the ball. Need him to be a little bit more proficient in his route running, especially being a slot receiver. So I think he'd clean up some things there. If I had to guess, his draft advisory grade was probably like early day three last year, and he probably thought of himself as a day two player. So he went back, had transferred from Western Michigan a few years ago. So just been in the Big Ten, I think, for two or three seasons. But Jaden Reed, Michigan State, not really the receiver factory it was in the 90s with Andre Rison and Plexico and Derek Mason, but they have some really talented players. A lot of transfers go to Michigan State, and they pump out some good pros.
Had Charles Rogers in the early 2000s coming from Michigan State.
Another good one. Yep.
Michigan State, they've got some talent. Jaden Reed, also an outstanding punt returner as well. Yep. And I think that shows
two
up
touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he's a really good on special teams. Let's go to the underclassmen part of the ledger here, staying on the offensive side of the football. So top draft eligible underclassmen on offense in the Big Ten. I'll lead us off here, and I'm going to go with another talented receiver in this class, and that's Rakeem Jarrett from Maryland. Ben, you alluded to the Terps. We've got a couple other guys from Maryland that we're going to talk about here later in the show, but Rakeem Jarrett is a true junior, rising junior here. He had just over 60 catches, just over 800 yards, 5 touchdowns last year, 6 foot, 190 pounds. Track athlete. He was DC Gatorade Player of the Year when he was coming out of high school in his final year. And I think that speed shows up. He's got good, borderline great speed. He's got that ability to be a vertical stretch weapon, and that shows up. Quick game, he could take those short throws of distance, but also really good flashes of being able to track the ball over the shoulder. A lot of impressive toe tap catches along the sideline as well. So I would say this guy's probably more comfortable as a body catcher. I don't know that he maximizes his catch radius as much as you'd like, but look, when a guy runs the way that he does, he faces a ton of press coverage and he shows the ability to beat a jam. So you can line him up outside, you can line him up inside. He's done a little bit of both over the course of his career, and he could be a speed threat, and he shows that ability to win yards after catch. That guy's that's a skill set of a starting receiver in the NFL. He's not complete yet. He's not a finished product. But I think when you look at him, there's a lot to be excited about when you look at Rakeem Jarrett. And Ben, I know he's a guy that you've studied. You could talk a little bit about Rakeem Jarrett, but also who your most intriguing underclassman is on that side of the ball.
Yeah, Rakeem's definitely has some home run speed. Two beautiful touchdowns against Penn State on the same concept as a true freshman, little 5-yard slant, and just smoked right through the defense. With some track-like athletes on that Penn State defense, he ran right through. So Rakeem is a big play receiver. Just want to see him get a little bit better with his route running and ball tracking down the field. I'll stay in the receiver category. And my pick to lead the Big Ten in receiving, not Smith and Jigba, not Jaden Reed, not whoever David Bell's backup was at Purdue, but we're going Parker Washington, redshirt sophomore at Penn State. Guys, this guy's a dude. And when I say he's a dude, this guy is, I think we're cooking with something special here. About 5'10", 210, really good play strength, wicked route running, twitch and snap at the top of breaks. He's got the long speed down the field, some elite plays on the ball, all sorts of one-handed catches and acrobatic plays in the air. He's a yak threat, a vertical threat. He's really tough. You put him one-on-one, he's likely carving you up. He had 100 catches for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns in his 2 years at Penn State. He's the guy with Jahan Dotson moving on to the NFL. All eyes are on Parker Washington. A bunch of people chirped at me on Twitter when I made this prediction, said, yeah, but what about Sean Clifford? And I forgot about Sean Clifford, but he's here for his swan song. I think he's going to clean up all those mistakes. Look out for Parker Washington there at Penn State to be a huge have a huge production there this year.
A hell of a take from you on Twitter last week saying that Parker Washington is going to lead the Big Ten. Obviously, you started the conversation.
I'm not rolling the dice enough. We're going to take some gambles this year. We're going to throw some hot takes out. We're going to light some fires.
No, I like you going on that island. And look, 5'10", 210, that's a thick boy at wide receiver. So
I was really, really impressed with this tape. Like, I was like borderline blown away. And then the bowl game was the cherry on top against Arkansas, cooking SEC corners, one-handed catches. I just said, man, this kid is just on the cusp of exploding.
All right, well, let's go now to Dane to wrap this conversation up. Dane, Ohio State always has some offensive linemen in the mix in this conference, and that will be the case once again this year, both underclassmen and from the senior class as well.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before doing these previews that I'm really underwhelmed by the totality of this offensive tackle class. But if there's one tackle who I think could really ascend and be a top 10 type of player, that's Paris Campbell from Ohio State. He has that big
Paris Jones, right? Campbell's the wide receiver.
Good call. Yeah. I'm mixing up my Buckeyes there. Yes. Paris Johnson.
Paris Johnson. Yes.
Yes. One of us will get it right. Paris Johnson, look, he's the guy, big man fluidity, moves really well at 6'6", 315 pounds, played right guard last year. And really looked out of place. I mean, he held his own, but this guy's a tackle. I mean, Ohio State was just trying to get, their five best players out there. They couldn't keep him on the bench. He was a top recruit. I think he's going to be more comfortable at his more natural left tackle this season, protecting C.J. Stroud's blind side. And look, it could be tough to take your eyes off of C.J. Stroud and all that skill talent, but check out the left tackle. His development this season is going to be really, really interesting because, again, Campbell has the talent and the potential to be a top 10 type of player. He's just not there yet.
Yeah, they've got another guy on the other side, DeJuan Jones, that some people are high on in the senior class. That's a big boy, 6'8", 370 pounds. So, they've got some talent there. We'll see if they're able to realize that potential and take and carry that to the NFL. Let's now go to the defensive side of the football. Ben, we'll talk through our top seniors on defense in this conference. And I know you want to lead things off with a guy that sees a lot of Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones from Ohio State in practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's time to talk about Zach Harrison. It's crazy. We've been talking about him, I feel like, for 3 years since being the number one player out of high school and his kind of folklore reputation coming out of high school being, a 260-pound defensive end, running 4.47, being a 10.7 100-meter guy, a 21.5 200-meter. Long story short, this was a freak show athlete coming to Ohio State to play defensive end. Now, where are we today? He's played just over 1,000 snaps in 3 seasons at Ohio State. Yeah, buried behind Chase Young early, really just his first year as a full-time starter this past year. Very raw player, despite having all those athletic freak traits that he's bringing with him out of high school. He's strong. He's explosive. He's stout. He's, powerful. He just doesn't necessarily put it all together in a football sense, in my opinion. He's a very clean player. He looks the part. He looks good. Going to play with good effort. Never be a liability out there, but never wows me. He's got long arms. He's a little high cut. He's explosive. He's a little tight, though. He's not super loose or twitchy. Strong hands, strong at the point of attack. He's got great linear pursuit speed, as we talked about, all those track background stuffs. It's also kind of how I felt about Bradley Chubb at NC State. He was also just a little long. He wasn't very loose, more of a linear guy, tough guy. Who was also 6'4", 270, ran 4.65. And I think Zach Harrison is going to be right in there. So I know I'm kind of talking circles here a little bit. Zach Harrison, interesting prospect, interesting traits, interesting tools. I need him to be a better football player, guys. And I'm hoping this senior year in 2022, he really puts it all together.
I think you nailed it because the talent is just not the problem. Here, his verified measurements, he's just a hair under 6'6", 266 pounds, 35 3/4 inch arms, 86.5 inch wing, ridiculous length of this player.
He looks the part.
No, there's no question. But even with that length, he doesn't really even know how to use it. There are times where, he's making first contact, but the blocker's not going anywhere. He's not creating movement. He's not putting them in reverse. He's late to anticipate blockers. He doesn't use leverage in his attack. He just doesn't have a natural feel for the position yet. So, he's got the best defensive line coach in the country there in Columbus and Larry Johnson. We'll see what happens this year as a senior, because there's a lot of high recruits behind him that are too good to keep off the field. So it's time for Zach Harrison to make some plays. He has the talent to do it. Just needs to put it all together, like you said.
I felt like if he's in the group of five, he's going to get talked about like a Marcus Davenport. He's raw and exciting and has all this upside. But because he's at Ohio State, I feel like the expectations are now. It's not a later thing. It's not a development thing or an upside thing. You're at Ohio State. Let's see it. So I feel like it's kind of put up, shut up time for Harrison. We're all rooting for him. He's got the tools. He looks the part. Now let's put it together here with that senior campaign.
All right, well, let's keep it going along the defensive line. Dane, I know you got a guy that also makes most of his plays in the trenches.
Right. Keanu Benton from Wisconsin. I think any conversation about who's the top defensive tackle, senior defensive tackle prospect this year, Benton's got to be in that conversation. 6'4", 312 pounds, 34-inch arms. There are times where that height works against him. He will get lost in the wash. So you want to see him use better leverage points. And it's interesting because he does have a wrestling background, but I thought that was something that he needs to improve upon. But really active, plays with pop. He squeezes through gaps. I was more impressed with his ability as a pass rusher than run stopper, which is a little strange because he plays nose tackle in that Wisconsin odd front. But he could be a productive part of an NFL rotation. There's a lot of ability there. I think ultimately where he goes, like right now, I'd say scouts view him as maybe a borderline top 100 draft pick. But so much of how he develops this year and what he puts on film is going to determine where he's ultimately drafted. But Benton's a good football player.
I feel like we're like hitting, we're doing like Big Ten bingo right now because we're hitting several different archetypes of prospect in this category. We've got our super talented Ohio State pass rusher. We've got our really tough Wisconsin nose tackle. Now I'm going to go to the really tough instinctive Iowa linebacker Jack Campbell.
Really quick, Fran, before you touch on Jack Campbell, I thought maybe you're going D tackle as well, so I was holding back. It's a fun class of D tackles in the Big Ten.
No question.
Between
it is,
Keanu Benton and PJ Mustipher, Slade at Michigan State, Mozzie Smith at Michigan. You got the Branson Dean kid at Purdue. There's a lot of fun, explosive, quick step interior guys. Teron Vincent at Ohio State. I'm sure they got some freshmen that's going to come on the scene too. So Big Ten interior defensive linemen, fun group.
Interior defensive line overall, I think, is a pretty strong group. And Dane, I know you're writing that group up right now for a piece that's coming up on The Athletic. But just getting back to Jack Campbell from Iowa, he first popped on my radar last summer. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic put out a piece of, like, I think it was like the top 35 breakout candidates for this fall. And Jack Campbell was on that list, and Bruce nailed this one. He went from 29 tackles to 140 last year, his first year as a starter. And Ben, you and I watched Campbell together, and I feel like you're just sitting there and you're just checking boxes. He's really tough. He sees things really fast, both run game and pass game. He's a good coverage linebacker. He plays as the Mike, but he'll mirror up on backs. He does a really good job as a middle zone defender. He's got really good eyes. He's almost beating the quarterback to the spot half the time. Just a really, really impressive player moving in reverse. He's got a history as a core four special teamer, so you know he can come and do that in the NFL. I talked about the size at 6'4", just under 250 pounds. He's got over 32.5-inch arms, so a guy that has the ability to deal with contact. He's got stopping power in the hole on bigger backs. He's got a nose for the football, just really, really productive. You start checking boxes. The big thing is that I think he's going to struggle to crack 4.7 in the 40-yard dash. The speed is going to be the big question. That's going to be what's going to cap his ceiling in the minds of a lot of evaluators. But I think even when you look at his overall athleticism, I don't think he's going to test poorly in like the agilities and things like that. I think it's going to be that top end speed. I think that's going to be that huge weight on his back that could kind of limit how he's perceived. But watching him, I mean, you start going through the Rolodex of guys that are that big, but also have the ability to hang in space. And Jack Campbell, he's a good player. This is a good, well-rounded linebacker that I think is going to start in the NFL in some way, shape, or form. So Jack Campbell, for me, a guy that really kind of caught my eye as a senior on defense in the Big Ten. With that said, Dane, let's keep the linebacker discussion going as we transition now to most intriguing underclassmen on defense. So the top draft eligible underclassmen, juniors, redshirt sophomores for this upcoming year. Dane, take it away.
I'm going back to Madison, one of the more intriguing players in the country, Nick Herbig. He's next in that Wisconsin pipeline as a pass rush linebacker in that 3-4 scheme. Really disruptive on last year's tape. Quickness. You love the toughness that when he attacks blocks. 6'2", 225 pounds. Not really built for that type of role in the NFL. So that's going to be the big question with him as a prospect. Now, he's very different, not the same type of player as Leo Chenal, but the questions about the next level role really cloud his projection as a prospect, similar in ways to Chenal in that respect. So Herbig is a fun player to watch, Hawaiian native. I know you guys are familiar with his older brother, Nate, who played on the offensive line for the Eagles for a few seasons after he went undrafted out of Stanford. But, regardless, even with the questions about what is he going to be off ball? Is he going to be, what's his growth potential? Even with those questions, Herbig is a really good player with an NFL future.
Yeah, he popped early in his career. I remember talking with Nate Herbig about his younger brother a couple of years ago, a guy that has continued to get better throughout the course of his career, and that versatility is going to be so big for him moving to the NFL. I'm going to talk about Ohio State safety Ronnie Hickman. First year as a starter last year, he's another guy that really took that leap in 2021. 6'1", 205 pounds. He's going to be a redshirt junior this fall. He was second team all conference last year. But if you dig a little bit deeper into the bio, this guy was an All-American lacrosse player in high school, was a great athlete, had D1 offers to play lacrosse coming out. But as soon as he got that Ohio State offer for football, that put that to bed. 13 starts last year. What stands out most to me from an athletic standpoint, he's a really long strider and he can eat up grass. And especially coming downhill, I thought he closed the gap between himself and the ball carrier in a flash. A little bit of stiffness laterally, but I don't think it was anything that was going to be going to affect him too negatively. What's interesting is that the production was really good, but at the end of the day, while watching him, I think he's one of those players, and you guys I know can empathize with this, is that you have to watch like 4, 5, 6 games of this kid to really get a sense of the overall impact that he can make. I feel like with everything, you're like, all right, like flashes really good play recognition, flashes the ability to play man-to-man, flashes the ability to show range for the post. He's a solid tackler, not a great tackler. He's used as a blitzer with some success. He's got some pretty good position versatility. He can line up deep. He'll play in the box. He was a dime linebacker. He'll play in the slot a little bit. So he could do a little bit of everything. I'm excited to see just a little bit more of a playmaking dimension to his game here this year as a junior. We'll see what he can bring. But he was second team all conference last year and for good reason as a sophomore. So I'm excited to see the step that Ronnie Hickman can make in that backfield there for the Ohio State Buckeyes. It should be fun to watch.
This is going to sound really weird, but Ronnie Hickman might be the most important player on that Ohio State team. And if you think about all the studs they have, Ohio State's going to score points. We know that. How many games they win is going to come down to their defense. And, you know, Jim Knowles coming over from Oklahoma State, new defensive coordinator, the scheme is going to look a little bit different. We know how Jim Knowles like to use his safeties, his linebackers and that scheme. So Ronnie Hickman, there's a lot on his plate to make sure that Ohio State defense, they're going to give up some points. It's going to happen, but they need to, keep things under control and not let things just totally fall apart like they did at times last year.
That's Josh Proctor's job. Let the young kid go make plays out there.
Well, Dane started this conversation off talking about a guy with NFL bloodlines and Nick Herbig. And Ben, I feel like you got to wrap this conversation up with a guy who's got some NFL bloodlines here in Joey Porter Jr. Yes, that is the son of former All-Pro, longtime Pro Bowl linebacker, Joey Porter Sr., formerly with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, he didn't get his dad's appetite, so he's out there playing corner, not in the box. So much different position here. But he plays like his dad with his temperament. This is a physical, long, rangy corner. That's Joey Porter Jr., 6'2", 190, entering his redshirt junior season. He was a 2-year starter. Listen, I love the bio information there. When your dad's Joey Porter Jr. and he played in the NFL for 13 years, I don't need to know about your 6 cousins that have also played in the NFL and whatnot. Very thorough bio there out of Penn State. But this is a physical corner, good tackler. He's long, he's fast, he's quick, can really recover. He's physical in jams, he's physical at the stem, he's physical at the catch point. Now, the issue with that, a little too physical. He had 10 penalties last year, not enough true ball disruptions. He's just a little bit more of a beat-you-up corner than a play the ball and a mirror match type of guy. His feet need to get better in press. They're stale at times. His footwork gets too wide, and he immediately gets in recovery mode. Now, the good thing, he recovers all the time. He is an exceptional athlete, really long, great strides. He's fast. He's quick. So just want to see him clean up some of the technique things and make some more impact plays on the ball. But he's a physical corner. Everybody wants to know those corners that get all the picks. Well, will they come up and tackle? Is he going to, come up and run support? Porter's doing all that. Now let's see if he can just put the size, the length, the pedigree with actually being a clean cover corner out there. Really intriguing prospect. Just a redshirt junior, so he's got time.
Yeah, a player that has been on the radar now for a couple of years and certainly continues to rise. He's a guy I'm excited to do a little bit more work on as we get a little further through the process. That said, let's get into some guys that we feel are just kind of flying under the radar. The biggest sleeper here in the Big Ten, and I'll start this conversation off. Michigan has done a really nice job over the years of putting some backup tight ends into the NFL. You can kind of go around. There's like 3 or 4 or 5 guys in the league right now that played for the Wolverines that are have some of those backup jobs. I feel like they've got a couple guys in this senior class that also can kind of fit that bill. I'll start with Luke Schoonmaker from Michigan, 6'5", just under 250 pounds. He was on the Shrine Bowl watch list from last month, highly graded by scouts coming into the year. I think when you look at Schoonmaker, what really impresses me most about him, he checks all the boxes. I don't know that he's got like an A trait right now. I love his toughness as a blocker. He's just got to get a little bit stronger. But this is a guy that they love putting in line. They asked him to block down on 4 eye techniques on interior defensive linemen and hold that block 1-on-1. obviously at sub 250, that's going to come with mixed results. So I don't think he graded out great at the point of attack in the run game. But this is a guy I think that at the end of the day, when he continues to fill his body out, you get him into the league. I think this is a guy that can turn into an inline player. The ball's very rarely on the ground with him. He's not a dynamic athlete, not one of those explosive guys that can get down the seam, more of a build-up speed type of player, but very reliable pass catcher. He's got some savvy and nuance to him as a route runner. He just looks like a professional player. He's just not a guy that's going to wow you from a physical standpoint. So Luke Schoonmaker would be number one. And then also Eric Aull for the Wolverines as well. Started a bunch of games for them. They played a ton of 12 and 13 personnel. They mix and match those personnel groups. They got another tight end that played a ton for them last year. But at 6'4", 250, Eric Aull's built a little bit differently. He's a little bit longer, a little bit leaner, more athletic looking. And so he was more of like a wing and a slot player, still played in line plenty and still was used at the point of attack plenty. I think he needs to clean some things up as a blocker, but this is a guy that I think has that ability to be kind of like a strong number two with a lean towards the pass game. I think that's what Eric Aull can bring to the table. He was leaked down the sideline, had the ability to make plays vertically down the field, good after the catch, not as good of a route runner as Schoonmaker, not as good of a blocker as Schoonmaker, but I think will ultimately bring more value because I think he offers a little bit more juice as a pass catcher. And at 6'4", 250, with those long arms, those big hands, I think that that's something that's going to catch people's eyes. So Eric Aull, Luke Schoonmaker, a couple of tight ends here for the Wolverines that I think are going to have staying power in the league and be able to stick. Ben, who would be your biggest sleeper here in this conference?
Two sleepers, Fran, sheesh.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep up with you. I'm sure you're going to be like 5-0
after that rant.
Jeez. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go with how about Illinois? We don't talk about a lot of Illinois prospects. They pump some out to the pros, though. I think they got a great cover corner in Devin Witherspoon, 6 foot, 180 from Pensacola, Florida. I always put that in there. Guys from Florida just move different, especially perimeter players. They're just faster than everybody else in the country. I don't really have any science to it. I just listed if they're from Florida. But Witherspoon has the press man pedigree with speed, quickness, fluidity, toughness. This is an alpha dog, confident, trash talking in your face type of corner. He's that loud guy in the practice field, a loud guy on third down, special team stud as well. Man, he had a great battle with Dontavian Wicks last year from Virginia. They get a rematch early in this season. I know Illinois, Virginia, it's a lot of orange out there, but two elite prospects, Devin Witherspoon, we're at number 31. They play a lot of press man out there, Illinois. It's ain't Lovie Smith in the cover two defense anymore with those Illini. So Illinois, they got some good prospects all over the defense. We saw Kirby Joseph last year. This is the cover corner on the outside, Devin Witherspoon.
All right. Well, Dane, how about you? Take us through your biggest sleeper here in the Big Ten.
Well, like you, Fran, I'm going to go with the tight end. And Penn State has had a pretty good run of producing tight end prospects. They've got another couple in the pipeline. Look, everybody wanted Theo Johnson out of Ontario 3 years ago as a high school recruit. He went to Penn State, and he's been a little bit lost in the shuffle, only 23 catches first two seasons. But he has all the talent to emerge as one of the best tight ends in the country. He's going to be competing with Brenton Strange for targets, plus a very inconsistent quarterback. So I'm not sure that the stat sheet is going to be all that impressive. But I tell you what, NFL teams are interested because the traits are really, really interesting. So Theo Johnson, a little bit of a sleeper right now, but that could change this year.
Hope he loves staying in for pass pro because we got to shore up the protection and get that ball to Parker Washington down the field. All right.
Well, and Brenton Strange too, at tight end, this kid's got some traits and had some good flashes last year. I know he was a productive part of the pass game as well at the tight end spot. All right, let's get to the next category here. Most approved. This is somebody with something to prove, whether they're coming off injury. They just need to improve their level of play as maybe a change in scheme or scenery. So Ben, we'll come to you first. Who's got the most to prove in the Big Ten?
I think this is the poster child for this category. I think across college football, could there be a prospect with a buzz completely falling off a cliff more than a Taewon Mullen? Incredible freshman campaign. Indiana, yes, that's younger brother of Trayvon Mullen. And I think there's another Mullen, younger brother at Indiana with him. Huge freshman season. Incredible plays, impressed man, some impressive zone plays. He's smaller than his brother. He's 5'10", 176. He committed to playing Indiana and did not look back. This was not a kid they were worried about transferring. He showed up with a notebook on his recruiting visit and started writing down last time Indiana made a bowl game, last time they won the conference, X, Y, and Z. This kid went to be a huge influence with this program. Really good kid. But last year, he was not the same player, even the year before. He's entering a senior campaign now. He's dealing with some injuries. had some turnover on the defensive side as well. Just not the same player we saw early on. So my most approved, get himself healthy, get back to being that elite player, that elite prospect, which he was out of high school. He went to Indiana. I'm not entirely sure how that all came about, to be honest with you, but he's a talented kid who dealt with some injuries, dealt with some down play. I'm really rooting for him to kind of a bounce back season.
Yeah, this is a guy I know you've been talking about for a couple of years and was on the national radar with what he did as a freshman out there in Bloomington. For me, I'm going to go to Maryland. And we got another Terp to talk about. I believe this is our third one we've hit on in this preview, and that's Dante Demas. This is the wide receiver for the Terps, 6'3", just under 215 pounds. He's got an outstanding wingspan, 34-inch arms, just under 81-inch wingspan overall. When you look at his ability as a pass catcher, he's got unique movement for a big receiver. This is not just a jump ball weapon. Hey, throw up to him in the low post and let him win. This is a guy that can, he's fast off the blocks. He can put stress on corners early in the down. He can impact all three levels of the field. He's been very, very productive. You go back to 2019, led Maryland in pass and receiving, led them in touchdowns, led them in yards. You go back to 2020, same thing, clean sweep, led him in everything. He led the Big Ten in receiving up until his injury last year. So he got hurt early in the season. It was like week 5, week 6 of last year. Now it's a question of what is he going to look like coming off the injury? Is he still going to have that same level of juice? If he does, this is a guy that's going to be easy in the day two conversation and potentially threatening for the back end of one, in my opinion, because when you look at the stuff of him healthy, this is a big body target who's got the ability to stretch the field. We talked about that with like a Dontavian Wicks and some other guys that we've hit on at the receiver position. There are a handful of guys in this class that have size and speed, so that ability to impact all three levels and beat you in a number of different ways. Dante Demas Jr., he is one of those guys. So I'm excited to see what he looks like. Can he still match that same pre-injury form? If he does, he's going to be right in the thick of it in this wide receiver discussion. He's a really, really fun prospect. Let's go to you, Dane. Take us home here with this, the most approved.
Yeah, now Demas is awesome. 6'3", 215, might run in the 4.4s. I think with him, at this time last year, I was talking to a scout who was, we're talking about Big Ten receivers, and Demas was in the same conversation with Olave and Jahan Dotson for him. So that's just, you know, the type of respect that a lot of evaluators have. I'll go with, someone that, Ben mentioned earlier, the Ohio State defensive backfield, Josh Proctor, the other safety for the Buckeyes.
Go on.
Had a gruesome leg injury last year. He's not the biggest safety, and that's something that, you always worry about. Safeties that are under 200 pounds. Proctor's probably right around that 195 range, but he's a really good athlete. He's smart. He's physical. Can he hold up physically? So coming back for, I believe it's his fifth year in Columbus, coming back and just staying healthy, that's going to be a big step for Josh Proctor. Because if he does, if he's durable and, teams don't have any worries about the injury concerns, he could be a top 100 player easy. So Josh Proctor, a lot to prove.
I know when he first got there and like when he showed flashes as a true freshman, there were coaches on that staff that felt like he could be like the next Malik Hooker. Cause it was right after Hooker had come into the league. He's been there for a few years now. But Proctor, the ceiling is definitely there. Let's now get to the next category here. Newcomer on the scene, maybe a transfer or a replacement player stepping in for a guy now in the NFL. Dane, I'm going to bounce the ball right back to you.
The running back transfer thing worked out okay for Michigan State last year with Kenneth Walker, and Mel Tucker is hoping for the same thing with Jarek Broussard, who was really productive at Colorado. He earned all Pac-12 honors each of the last 2 years, averaged over 5 yards per carry. Now he's undersized, so very different style of runner than Kenneth Walker. He maybe hits 190 pounds on his best day. So, we're not going to see that same type of power and ability to power through tackles, but Broussard runs with burst. He runs with toughness. We'll see if he can turn himself into a draftable player this year at East Lansing. I think right now he's more of a PFA type of prospect, but we'll see what he could do with Michigan State.
I'm going to stay in the state of Michigan here for mine, and I'm going to go for another two for another pair of Wolverines. I did that with the tight ends. Let's go to the other side and talk through some defensive linemen, because Michigan, the last two drafts, they've seen pass rushers go in the first round. They could have had a third one last year if Ojabo didn't tear his ACL or rupture his Achilles, rather, at his pro day. But I think when you look at who's next, who's the next guy up that we could be talking about, there's some young players in the pipeline here for Michigan, but how about a couple of rising seniors, Taylor Upshaw, former NFL defensive end Regan Upshaw, his son, he's with the Wolverines. And more of a power leverage rusher. He's definitely going to lean on that bull rush. He's got the ability to sequence moves and kind of, you know, find different ways to be able to win. But at the end of the day, he's a power leverage player. He's solid against the run. I'd like to see him get a little bit better in really both areas. And then that can give you that faith that he could be a backup. So I think that's kind of level that we're talking about right now. You just want to be able to see him take that next step. The guy who could really make the jump, though, because he's got all kinds of traits in his body, and that's Julius Welshoff. This is a player that we first heard about a couple of years ago now. It feels like a few years this guy's been on campus with Michigan, but he was in Bruce Feldman's freak list. This was back, we're talking, you know, what was it, 2019, when we first heard of Julius Welshoff. This is a guy that at 6'6", 285 pounds, he's originally from Germany, played for a club out in Germany, made the transition over to America. Again, talking about the freak list back in 2019, and there's all the different things about, like, he can do backflips and all this other stuff. He can tightrope walk backwards across a river. There's like all this crazy stuff there with the legend of Julius Welshoff. But at the end of the day, with him as a football player, just hasn't played a lot. He hasn't played 300 snaps yet on defense. So at 6'6", 285, with the traits he's got some explosiveness. There's no question about it. He can win at the point of attack as a run player. It's about, what can you do as a pass rusher? Can he realize that athletic potential? I watched him last week and felt like, all right, like, he kind of reminds me of John Kaminsky. When John Kaminsky was coming out of Charleston, it was a low level of competition, but he was like that hybrid DND tackle with a lot of traits. And can he put it all together? That's kind of where I am on Welshoff right now. Ceiling is high. You just don't know. It's kind of a roll of the dice right now. So we'll see if he can, in his next year, figure it out. But the other thing is, too, he's older, guys. I mean, I said he's been on campus for a few years. He'll be a 26-year-old rookie. So developmental guys that are a little bit older, that's a tough gamble to be able to bet on if you're an NFL team. But we'll see if Welshoff can try and convince teams otherwise here this fall. Ben, who's your newcomer for us to watch?
And those are the best freak list little blurbs, by the way. I'm getting a little bored of the 40s and the MPHs and the power cleans. Like, they'll have little blurbs. Like, this guy threw a keg over his Toyota, and like the obscure ones are my favorite. I think Taven Bryan was like throwing barrels of hay or something. Those are the ones that always stick out in my head. But newcomers on the scene, the transfer portal, there's some interesting ones. Jacob Copeland, 4-4 receiver from Florida, heading over to Maryland, fill out that talented room. Oklahoma State nickel Tanner McAllister, like a 3-4 year starter, going to Ohio State to play their nickel spot. So interesting talent heading over there. Mitchell Tinsley, productive kid from Western Kentucky, going to Penn State. Oluwatimi, the center from UVA, now at Michigan, pretty veteran line there. I'm really interested with O'Shane Mathis, who is a TCU edge rusher now at Nebraska. Got to give a little love to some Nebraska guys here. But this guy has almost 100 quarterback pressures the last three seasons. He's long, he's lean, he's loose. Has started 34 games at TCU. He's graduated, long limbs, stunts games, real springy get off. He's explosive, loves the long arm move at full extension. He'll do some QB spying stuff from the second level. Really good pursuit speed as well. Lean lower half. He looks like Brian Burns, but doesn't play like Brian Burns quite yet. But O'Shane Mathis there at Nebraska from TCU. Man, TCU had tons of talent. Just get ransacked there. Kari Coleman's off to Ole Miss. The running back's off to Ole Miss. O'Shane's off to Nebraska. Some talented players there, and the transfer portal is going to keep on portaling.
All right, well, let's wrap this conversation up, guys. We've got our future studs. This is a guy that's not draft eligible next spring, but a name we need to watch for the future. Big Ten always has some young guys in the pipeline, and especially a running back. That will be the case here this fall. And I want to start with Ohio State running back Travion Henderson. First popped on in week one last year as a true freshman against Minnesota. You saw the speed. You saw the juice. You saw the lateral movement. I remember we came on and talked about him here on the show right afterwards and said, man, like, this guy in his first college game to do what he did at 5'10", 215. I'm excited to see Henderson and what he could be in year two of his college career. But Travion Henderson, something tells me we're going to be seeing him in mock drafts next spring in those two early mock drafts for 2024. But make sure you get ahead of it now and have this guy in your list for moving forward. Ben, how about you? Who's a name we need to keep an eye on here?
Wisconsin did it again. They have a true sophomore running back that set the world on fire last year in Braylon Allen. He's 6'2", almost 240 pounds of track speed. He didn't even expect to play last year and ran for 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. Just started the last couple games. We watched some games, Fran, and he looked over to me like, where's the young kid? I was like, I don't know. They play the senior, and then all of a sudden they throw the keys to the young kid, like, get us out of this trouble. And he did that for literally like 10 straight weeks, and then they started starting him at the end. But Braylon Allen, Wisconsin running back. Yep. Again,
Dane, take us home. Who's your pick here?
Well, I mean, there are numerous Buckeyes we could mention here. You already brought up Travion Henderson, arguably one of the best backs in the country. Marvin Harrison teased us in the Rose Bowl last year with his talent.
Yep.
There are a few of these defensive ends who are going to have breakout years in 2022 for Ohio State. But I've got to go with Denzel Burke, one of the best cornerbacks in the Big Ten last season as a true freshman. Love his twitch, love his aggressive style. This guy looks like the real deal, like a future first-round pick type of real deal. So keep Burke on the radar, see what he does in year two at Ohio State.
Whole lot of talent in this conference, like we talked about it. Only, you know, 19 guys, same amount of players drafted in the top 20 the last 5 years as the ACC. But when you look at the quality of player that has come from the Big Ten, it is really, really impressive. So it looks like that will continue here next spring. Really, really impressive group. But guys, we've got one more conference to preview before we get ready for the 2022 season. We're doing it next week right here on the Journey of the Draft podcast. We've got the SEC. Dane, Ben, hope you guys are ready.
Nobody ever gets drafted out of there.
Yeah, right. Well, I hope you guys are ready to watch some more tape this week, because we've got plenty of players to get through next week here on the show. But we'll wait one more week here on the Journey of the Draft podcast presented by Life Brand.